Hi there, and welcome. This is Conscious Living and Power Radio. Thank you for tuning in. I am so excited. We're going to talk dessert, but first, okay, that's the exciting part, but there's also another excitement. This is something I've talked about before, Floating KC, where you go in and you do the float, and it's one of those things where until you have done this, it's really not a good way to describe it, because as you continue to experience this, and it's sensory deprivation, it isn't in a tank, there's no claustrophobic effect. It's where you go into a room, I believe it's like 8 by 8 of the size of the room, and then about 8 inches of water or so. So it's Epsom salts. You're floating and you're totally, completely relaxed. The first time it was a little bit of an adjustment of getting used to, oh, I can feel the water. I can feel my skin. I can feel, you know, the sensory thing. Your body is getting used to this. By the seventh or eighth time, all of a sudden you're instantly zoned. It gets you to that level of meditation that sometimes takes, you know, 15, 20 minutes to get into. And within a few minutes in the float tank or float room, float environment, you're in the zone. All right. I wanted to mention it because they're offering 30% off. You say you hear this, Conscious Living, Wendy, hear this, 30% off your first float. All right. Check it out. And again, the first time might be just a little adjustment period. If you've already been, you know what I'm talking about. But once you do this and get into the information with John Lilly talking about how this is an incredible way to expand consciousness on so many different levels. But I wanted to bring that up because I just did one yesterday. And then I was in the mood for afterwards dessert. Actually, honestly, the minute I got the phone call and said, okay, this is a farm-to-table desserts. Hello, thank you. Booked. So I'm so thrilled because I went and checked the websites and all this good stuff, some background on Le Shishak, and it's L-E-I-S-H-I-S-H-A-K. All right, just in case you want to Google to and find out. But the book, good reviews, good food, and we're ready to talk dessert. Hello, Le.
Hello.
Did I get you ready to float?
It sounds so fun. I try it.
It is. It, well, and it's just that the first time you kind of, you know, okay, this is interesting. But when you start relaxing, then the third or fourth time, I'm like, oh, each time I felt different. And so it's one of those things that it is an incredible way to relax. And they actually have done studies. And so for people who have PTSD, this is something that is recommended as a way of calming you down. And like I said, the claustrophobic element that some people were worried about with the tanks, it doesn't factor in. So, but when I was doing the review for you and trying to see what all you had, in addition to your cool website with all sorts of fun desserts and a fabulous recipe right now for blueberry pancakes, I saw that you do more than just dessert. So you're a pastry chef, but I saw this fabulous recipe for, and it's not tuna, it's I don't want to hear the music, whoops. It's on YouTube, and it was Kathy Thomas Cooks, and so you did a demonstration and with the bok choy and the salmon that looked fabulous.
I did. It's absolutely delicious. It's a nice, easy, healthy way to prepare salmon, which is a fairly delicate fish, and so poaching is a nice, easy, delicate way to prepare salmon, so it gets flavorful, but it doesn't break apart after cooking as well.
Now, the reason we're talking now is because these are farm-to-table desserts. This is your latest book. The first one apparently was gangbusters, from what I can see. You have a thing for dessert.
I do. I am a trained pastry chef. I did study at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. And my focus was on desserts. I do, however, love to cook savory items. Both my parents are excellent cooks, and I grew up having home-cooked meals made by them. So it's something I love to do in addition to dessert.
Okay, first, what was your favorite home-cooked meal with mom and dad?
Oh, both my parents are from India, actually. And so curry, no question about it. Any type of curry that they made, I absolutely adored.
Oh, man. Okay, so you have a book with any of those curry recipes yet?
Not yet. I think my parents should write that, not me.
Well,
not yet.
This is the adaptation from a loving daughter. Okay, just so you know, just that there's something on your to-do list, because there are a lot of us out here. We'd be thrilled with your curry.
It wouldn't be good enough, but I sense a blog post coming up on chicken curry.
Yay! Okay. See, there we go. Out of your comfort zone, right into curry. But that's also comfort, because when you grow up with a food, you know, the kids, I mean, I remember going over to somebody else's house and having their food, and it did not taste like fried chicken. It did not taste like mom, all right? Or the one time it tasted so fabulous, it's like, whoa, oh, so they were from Texas. And so they had this fabulous, it was like an egg flake crust for the chicken, and it was just to die for. So you know, you expand your comfort horizons, but there's always something to be said about the foods that you grow up with, because they set the tone and they bring back memories no matter when you have them. There's this is, you know, this image and this sense of, okay, so we're waiting for the curry.
It's so true. Every time I fly back east to visit my parents, I just can't wait to go into their home and smell my parents' cooking. It just immediately relaxes me.
Okay. You've got the bakery. And what, for anybody who's listening, they actually can go see you and taste all this good stuff in person, or some of it anyway.
Yes, very true. I own a bakery, Sugar Blossom Bake Shop. It is in Southern Orange County in California. It's in San Clemente, which is a cute little beach town. And we opened in 2010, and we make delicious custom cakes, cupcakes, cookies, brownies, and most of the items, specifically the cookies and the brownies, we do ship nationwide. So any of your readers can hop on our website, which is sugarblossombakeshop.com. We have photos of each of our items, and they can order however many they'd like, and we'll ship them to them 2-day priority. So everything stays really, really fresh.
Okay. So this is like Nirvana. All right. Just one picture. You're starting to drool. I can tell you, because I'm on the blueberry pancakes right now going, oh man. Oh, I saw this morning. This is a recent one, just in case you're listening, for this June 5th, the blueberry pancakes. And this is so, looks on its, I actually think I recognize that, a Fiesta saucer. Yeah.
I have all of them, and all the colors, and all the bowls, and all the platters.
That's hilarious. I remember the first time I fell in love with Fiesta, back when I found a lavender set, and I realized it was like $300 for the setting. I said, well, maybe I would get over my lavender and just settle for a lovely sunshine. Yeah, but. Yeah, I like Fiesta too. So I didn't even think, earlier I saw the pancakes and I'm like, oh, that's a Fiesta plate. Okay, all right. So anyway, get the Fiesta love here. So we have
is awesome.
We have a similar appreciation. All right, so this is a little bit different with the blueberries. It really does look like a great recipe. You said you there was supposed to be a goat's milk that you substituted, or what was the substitution?
I would have preferred to have used buttermilk.
Okay.
It does lend a nice moistness to the pancakes. I did not have any, so I just opted for whole milk. And honestly, they were just as tasty with the milk as opposed to with the buttermilk. Now, you could, just so listeners know, if you do want to make buttermilk and you have some whole milk, you can certainly make buttermilk with whole milk. You just take about a cup of whole milk and add about a teaspoon of vinegar to it and stir that up, let it sit for about 5 minutes, and it will begin to curdle and you will have buttermilk.
Okay. Now, to give people an idea, this is super easy to make. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
You just add the ingredients and you're good to go. You're looking, these are like season, you know, in season blueberries, and there's no, with the sugar, it's real sugar. This is not, we're not cutting back on anything. It's real flour, real sugar. You used whole flour and then maple syrup. Okay. So just in case you're worried that we're going to go into some kind of a dietary, sensory deprivation. No.
there's absolutely, it's all natural ingredients, real sugar, super simple to make. You literally just need a large bowl and a whisk, and you'll be able to make these. I do like to, what's called, macerate the blueberries beforehand. What that is I just mash a little of the blueberries with some sugar, and you let it sit for a few minutes, and that sugar draws out some of the wonderful sweet juices of the blueberry. And when you add them to the pancake batter, it just distributes the flavor of the blueberries really well. And so every bite of these pancakes, you get that wonderful blueberry flavor. I did use, you can use whole wheat flour, you can use all-purpose flour. I like to do half-half.
Okay. And when I went further down the page, since I'm in the land of zucchini overload, there's a blueberry zucchini bread. And this is what I grew up with. We had zucchini cake, zucchini, anything zucchini, it was there, because there was always the, you know, a plethora, overload, overwhelm of zucchinis are just prolific. Okay. They can't help themselves. So that's a good recipe. I like that one too.
Yes. It's one of my favorites, and I love tricking my guests, because when they have this bread, they actually don't even realize that zucchini's in the bread. It's really delicious. It's a way to, you know, eat something healthy without even knowing it.
Okay, now when you're using the vegetable oil, can you do the olive oil for vegetable? Is there a certain kind that you recommend? Does it make a difference?
It doesn't really make a difference. The only thing, olive oil is so good for you, so I absolutely recommend it. You just might notice the slight flavor taste of olives when you eat something that's been baked with olive oil, but that's not a bad thing at all.
Okay. There's also a vegan recipe here. You've got the cookie, and this is way back from November 2016. The recipe is I would probably say now, in the archives. Okay, so you pull one of these out of the archives.
Yeah, so that is our that's actually sold at my bakery, Sugar Blossom Bake Shop in San Clemente, California. We've had it on the menu for, I want to say, maybe 2-3 years now, and we brought it on because we didn't have a vegan item at the bakery, and we kept getting requests and comments that you gotta have something vegan, you need something vegan. So I developed this vegan chocolate cookie specifically for Sugar Blossom, and it was a hit. And so we have kept it on the menu. It is really nice. It's made with Valrhona dark cocoa powder here at the bakery, and it's a soft chocolate cookie that we simply roll in some sugar after it's baked, and it's really delightful. So, and for those of you who do not live in the area, we can ship you some too.
Oh, she's teasing. She's just teasing now. Okay. Oh. No temptation there. But that's the thing I thought was fun, though. This is at your shop, so it gives people a kind of a taste of the shop, and then maybe a little more incentive to come visit too. And it looks really easy. The brown sugar, I think, probably gives it a little more texture and some a little bit of a wonderful smooth flavor with the brown sugar that you, I don't know, it's a little more of a richer flavor, and that's just
it,
my
it does. Yeah, I always feel like brown sugar adds depth of flavor to cookies, and I really feel that that's what happens in this cookie.
Yeah, it looks divine. Okay, so obviously I'm just having way too much fun on your blog. So we're going to go back to the book portion of the blog and go back to the organic farm to table desserts. And so with this, these are you're kind of focusing on seasons. And I read some of the reviews saying that you've separated it so that you do have an idea, you know, summer, spring, fall, so you can eat with the seasons when they say that's when our foods are the most nutritious.
Yes, exactly. What I love about my cookbook is that it is broken up into seasons. So the first chapter is spring. And since the book was released in spring, we felt like, let's open with spring. So our readers can actually just turn to the first chapter. And the header of the chapter actually has a list of all the fruits, not all, it's not that comprehensive, but many of the popular fruits and vegetables that you can find at the farmers markets in springtime.
Okay, so what season are we in with the eggplant?
Well, okay.
Did it make the book?
you're already into eggplant. I was all ready to talk about stone fruit.
Well, I just thought we'd get a veggie in there, you know, because I've been going over all these cookies and pancakes, and okay, let's shake it up with a veggie just to not.
Okay. Well, Well, we're getting there. We're getting eggplants. It'll be in the summertime. I think like probably around July, August, we'll start seeing more of eggplants.
Oh, okay. Okay. So not too far ahead. All right. So what was your next taste temptation here?
Well, what I was thinking was that stone fruits are really being seen at the markets right now. And so I just wanted to point out on the cover of the book, we have stone fruit tarts, and they are these gorgeous rectangular puff pastry tarts. And you can add any stone fruit that you'd like. On the cover, we have cherries, we have apricots, we have plums. But you can play around with different stone fruits as well. And they're super simple. You don't do much with the fruit. You simply toss them with a little agave nectar to sweeten them up. You lay them on top of the puff pastry, sprinkle with some sugar, and then bake them for about 20 minutes.
Okay, so now if you would just like to hear what's in her book, the recipes that are said here, that are some of Leah's favorites, the fig jam, the sweet corn panna cotta, the strawberry hand pie, sweet potato cake, stone peach cobbler, blood orange pot de creme. Okay, are you hungry yet? Which one of those is like your favorite? Because I'm asking you to choose from one of your top ones. Which one of these?
That is really a tough question. I do have multiple. However, if your listeners are like me, I just love strawberries and I love baking with strawberries, and you can find them pretty easily at the markets. So I want to just talk about the strawberry hand pies. They are super cute and you can carry them around in your hand, which is why I named them hand pies. Basically, it's just a very straightforward pie dough, again, made with whole wheat flour and all-purpose flour. And you cut the pie dough into rounds, small little rounds, and you fill them with some roasted strawberries. I find that when I bake with strawberries, I really love to roast the strawberries first. It's basically just baking the strawberries tossed with a little sugar in the oven for about 15 minutes, and it really brings out the flavor and the juices of the strawberries, and it also turns them into this gorgeous blood red color. So after you roast the strawberries, you just put a little mound of the strawberries in the center of each dough round, cover it up with another piece of dough, and then pinch the edges, crimp them with a fork, and sprinkle some sugar on top and bake them. And they're just these adorable little round circular hand pies that you can offer your guests or your neighbors or just eat for yourself.
We used to have something like that. It was a tartar pie. My neighbors, they lived like within walking distance. So we would play Monopoly in the summer, because in the basement, it was nice and cool. In the winter, we'd go up the attic, but in the summer, it was the basement where it was cool. And we would set up the Monopoly game and it would stay for days. All right. Depending on how long it was to win. But the highlight was when her mom came down and we would like apricot, peach, cherry. She would have different little, and they were a little like a small pie. And that's one of my favorite summer memories that I completely spaced out until just now. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can smell them coming down the stairs.
Right? Yes. That sounds very similar to these pies. The aroma is so enticing and they taste delicious.
Well, and the thing too, with a smaller pie, then you don't have as much guilt when you can eat it. And if you feel like you want to be really, really frugal and on target with, okay, I'm going to deny myself just a little bit and cut it in half, then you haven't eaten, you've got a little bit to go back for later, and there you go. And we were talking before we started about this being, be careful. It's okay. It's wholesome dessert, but you know what? We're talking desserts. Set all of that guilt and all of that trauma that you have had put on you for actually enjoying dessert, and let yourself enjoy these moments. These are foods. We have them everywhere. And if the minute you put that guilt into your mouth along with your dessert, you're tanking the whole thing. Then you're going to, it's like, no. Just go, I give myself permission to enjoy this wonderful fruit of the earth and this fantastic recipe that has been given to me because I was in the right place at the right time.
Yes. And that brings up a very good point, is that we're human and we have these natural taste cravings. And you know what? It's not just salty, savory things that we crave naturally. We do naturally crave sweet things.
When you were deciding what, because you know, the pastry chef, it had to come with a little bit of thought. What was the thing that drew you to that?
Well, I did always like to bake when I was little. My mom would bake a lot and still continues to bake a lot. And I would always help her out in the kitchen. We would make cookies together and cakes. And I did sort of stop baking when I went to off to college. And I was working in New York City in the corporate world, and a bakery opened up not too far from my apartment, and I would pass it every day on my walk to work. And I just, I always looked inside. I was curious what they had, and then I ended up being a customer. And one day, I saw a sign that they were looking for a part-time cake decorator. And at that point, I had been working at my bank job for about 4 years and was pretty bored. So I went to inquire about the cake decorator position, and it was perfect because it was just a weekend position. And I don't know why, but she hired me, and I became their weekend cake decorator. And I just fell in love with it. It you know, I worked Monday through Friday at the bank and Saturday and Sunday at the bakery. And I was like, I need to do this and I need to study this. And I really want to understand, you know, I want to be baking in the back kitchen. I just don't want to be decorating cakes. And I also need more education on cake decorating too. And so that's when I decided to take the leap and go to culinary school and study pastry art.
Well, I love the way that the layout on your page, the Beachtown Baking page, where this got this incredible cupcake, looks like it has a coconut around the rim and a pineapple and a cherry on top. So, you know, possibly something lovely, beachy. I don't know what that would, does it have a name?
It sure does. It's called Pina Colada Cupcake. And it's currently sold at Sugar Blossom. And your listeners can see a photo of it on Sugar Blossom's website. It's a wonderful, moist, delicious yellow cake that is made with coconut milk and rum. It bakes up wonderfully spongy. It's topped with a cream cheese frosting. Then we crumb the edges with a little toasted coconut. And on the top there, you see a little round pineapple that we caramelize. We cook it in a little brown sugar, butter, and vanilla. We caramelize the little pineapple. We place it on top, and we top it with a maraschino cherry.
Wow. That's decadent. That's really decadent. Just, I mean, looking at it's good, but boy, hearing what all's in it. Oh, man. Oh, is that one of those that you ship? Or is
we
it too fresh?
We do not ship cupcakes. It's a little too messy. So, yeah, that's for the people who come in, unfortunately.
Oh, darn. Okay, so my producer, Matt, says, what about the pie? I get this little Skype message. What about the pie? So what's the pie?
That's awesome. The pie. Okay, so he must be talking about the mixed berry pie that's behind the pina colada cupcake.
Yep, that's it.
Yes, okay, so that recipe is from my first cookbook, Beach House Baking, and that cookbook has a number of different pie recipes, and one of them is the mixed berry pie, and that has strawberries and raspberries and blueberries in it.
What makes you draw this out a little more? Because we'll take a break here in a minute or two, but because Matt would be so disappointed if he doesn't get to hear all of the ingredients. But the first book, this is the one that kind of gave you your claim to fame, Beach House Baking. And this is An Endless Summer of Delicious Desserts right there along the ocean front. And it has something that looks like a little crumble crust on the top on the cover there. So I want to do this pie justice, okay? Because he'll be so disappointed. He's already going, on Skype. I love the background here. So So we'll take a break here. But again, just if you're listening, Lei Shishak is the founder of Beachtown Baking, author of cookbooks now. She's getting a few, and we're hoping for a curry thing coming along here. Okay. Okay, so stick around. We're going to come back and talk more food and that pie, that berry pie, in a couple of minutes here.
Now we can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll rope it up,
cause we know how to jump.
We'll roll it out,
cause we know how to skate.
We'll cut it down,
cause we know what to eat.
We'll swap it out,
we eat healthy stuff.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
Can we do it?
Today's a good day to grab your kids and hang out with them for an hour. Dance, walk, play a sport, or cook a healthy meal. Because just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your child healthier.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll ball it up,
cause we know how to hoop.
We'll mess around,
cause we know how to play.
We'll drop it down,
cause we know how to dance.
We'll veg it up,
veg it night and day.
Can we do it?
Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day to keep you and your kids healthy. Remember, that's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Here I am hanging out on the BeachtownBaking.com site, looking at the Beachtown Baking pie. We just discussed the pina colada cupcake. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. You know, if you listen to the show, usually I'm talking of other, you know, consciousness or ghosts or paranormal or anything but food. But you know what? We break BREAKE for dessert. Okay. Or if you would just like to take a coffee break, BREAK, then we're good. And this is no guilt. This is a guilt-free zone. So my accomplice in this has given us all sorts of wonderful inspiration. And Lei now has a second book in addition to the Beach House Baking book that we're just enjoying. We're going back to the new one. And the new book is just now out. It's Farm to Table Desserts. And then you have 880 seasonal organic recipes. And this is the farmer's market stuff. So when you're going out and looking at, you know, all the lovely tomatoes and the corn and the peaches, right now we've got peaches at our local Lewisburg cider mill. And that's one of my favorite places. They're Missouri peaches. And so when they come in season, it's just, there's just no better flavor. And that we don't need the ones that are shipped in. And we like Colorado, but it just doesn't have the same thing, the same moistness, juiciness, you know, that's the same ripe flavor that the local fruits do. So anyway, so now this is the inspiration for you as you're cooking to do the local thing, but we have to do the pie for Matt because she just got into talking about this strawberry pie and we interrupted rudely.
Yes, this is for Matt.
Okay.
So,
what's it got?
Okay, it is a mixed berry pie. It is, you are correct, it is from my first cookbook, Beach House Baking, and it has strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, and blueberries. So four different berries. They're tossed with a little sugar, a little vanilla, and a pinch of cinnamon. I do add just a teaspoon of cornstarch just to thicken up the juices so your pie is not too runny when you slice into it. And it's poured into a pie shell. The streusel is this wonderful buttery crumb. So it's simply just some flour, some sugar, butter, and just a teeny bit of cinnamon. I really like how cinnamon complements berries, so I like to use it in both the filling and the streusel topping. And you just bake it up, and it's just even baking in the oven, the aroma is just so wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, this is something that's very seasonal. Okay, he's in a stupor now. Okay, I just got the stupor. There you go. In season here, and it's just a short season, so that's why you don't see them at the store anywhere, mulberries. And mulberries, I don't know if you've ever tried them, but they're a little bit a softer flavor, maybe between a blackberry and a black raspberry. They don't have the tartness. And it's a delicate flavor. And we walk the dogs at the park, and so we're able to go by, and they've got a couple of mulberry trees that have been quite prolific, and no matter how many of us stop by to take a few mulberries, there's still some left between us and the birds. But it's just that's some of the things that, you know, anybody who's doing this can substitute some of their own local flavors too. I know some people have sand plums, and I had never had that. And even it's Western Kansas that they're a little more prominent and or prevalent. Anyway, that's what I like about some of this, is that as you're cooking with your books, you can add a little bit of a local flair, and it makes it easy to just appreciate that there's so many ways that you can make these your own, in addition to adding that flair that you have for making them absolutely gorgeous. These are beautiful, beautiful pictures and recipes I'm looking at, and I'm thinking, oh, and it makes it so easy. The stuff that you have, from what I'm looking at with the recipes, like you said earlier, that one was like a whisk in a big bowl. Hey, that's incentive.
Yes. And that's, you know, that brings up the point of, you know, what really prompted a lot of Beach House Baking recipes is that I love to bake, but I don't want to spend hours in the kitchen baking. I want to be outside and I want to be at the beach. I live in one of the most beautiful towns in America, I think, which is Dana Point, California. And I want to be outside and I want to be enjoying the outdoors. So let me come up and share with my readers very simple, straightforward, but delicious recipes that they don't have to spend hours making. It's really, the recipes in any of my cookbooks are very straightforward, and you don't have to be a professional chef to make them by any means. Any home baker can make these recipes.
Okay. Now, the other thing, too, is it seems like your parents have very discriminating tastes. Do they allow themselves? is there a dessert option?
Yes, actually. Well, my mom is very proprietary. It was just so funny. I was home for over the Christmas holiday, and she basically wouldn't even let me in her kitchen. I was not even allowed to go into the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
As she said, and I quote, "Kitchen is off limits." So, but in Beach House Baking, my first cookbook, I did share one of my mom's recipes, and I grew up with it, and her mom passed it down to her, and it was pretty much a staple in our house every time we would have guests, and she called it the Ruby Cake, and it's a really easy, simple, single layer, like a 9 by 13 inch cake pan is all you need. It just bakes up in a pan, like a rectangular cake pan. And the cake, again, this is one of those, all you need is a bowl and a whisk and maybe actually a wooden spoon or something like that too. But it's just, made with some vegetable oil, some eggs, some sugar, some, pineapple, some coconut, and then some flour and some leavener and some walnuts. And it's baked up in the oven. But when it comes out, this is what really makes the cake, is you let the cake cool slightly. And while the cake is cooling, you make this icing of butter, sugar, evaporated milk, and vanilla extract. And it's this like warm, milky vanilla icing that you pour over the cake when it comes out. And it makes it so moist and flavorful. And that's one of my mom's recipes. And it was just too good to not share in that book.
Does she ever forgive you?
Yeah, so I think she's over.
That's why you can't go back in the kitchen now. You paid too much attention.
Right?
The family secrets. No. Not yet. Okay, well, she's doling them out one by one. All right. So,
yes,
so
exactly.
Now you also, I'm looking at the Slim Bakes frozen cookie dough. This is in the works. Are you continuing that?
Yes, I am continuing. We were fortunate to be in some local Ralph's grocery stores in San Clemente, California, and now we're working on expanding the stores. So yeah, we're actually very knee deep in that, trying to work with companies on getting it out there. So yeah, the story behind Slim Bakes is we would have molasses cookies during the holidays at the bakery, and my customers loved our molasses cookies, but we would take them away after the holidays were over, and so they kept begging us to make them, and I was a little reluctant. You know, we had enough cookies already on the standard menu, and to add even just another one would just seem very daunting. So what I offered to do was make them the dough, and they could take home the dough and stick it in their freezer and just bake off molasses cookies whenever they wanted to. And so I would pre-portion the dough, you know, scoop it out, and so they literally just had little dough pucks that they could just pull out of the freezer and bake. So it started with the molasses one, and people loved the idea. So we started doing other cookies, and eventually also did our gluten-free brownie bites. And all of these cookie doughs and brownie bites, they can be stored in the freezer. They have a 9-month shelf life, and you can just bake them off whenever you want them. And they're called Slim Bakes because they are 100-calorie cookies only, and the brownie bites are only 50-calorie bites. So they're tasty and good for you at the same time.
Okay, and if you're listening, I made the mistake. I went to the slimbakes.com website, and here it is, the lovely oatmeal raisin, classic molasses, peanut butter, chocolate chip, and brownie bites. And then you scroll down, and you find chillin' on the beach cake. And then you find the cowboy cupcakes, the Cassie, it's nacho 30th, a nacho cake. Whoa. Okay. That's really impressive. And then we've got the springtime cupcakes with all sorts of lovely, lovely flowers and pastels. Anyway, this is where you get really decadent. Okay. When you're on this page, you know you're serious.
Yes. So when you scroll down off of the Slim Bakes website, we just decided to add the feed from our Sugar Blossom Bake Shop. And so you see a lot of the custom creations that we make at Sugar Blossom. And it's really cute to see all the things that we make at the bakery. We get a lot of custom requests for, different decorating ideas. And so that's what we do all day.
I know. Well, this is fun. Yeah. The chicka chicka boom boom. I went over to Facebook. I'm just clicking away. You know, this is like, whoa, this is way decadent. But this is why it's no calories. I'm just really having a ball, and I haven't made nothing. Oh, the koalas and love cupcakes. Those were at the top. Those are
adorable. They were so cute.
Yes, they're adorable. They're just really, okay, what do they have in them?
Those are red velvet cupcakes, which is probably our most popular cupcake here at Sugar Blossom. It's a really classic red velvet cake that we top with our delicious homemade cream cheese frosting. And those cupcakes are so cute. They were actually ordered by someone not in California. She wanted us to make them for a friend of hers who lives out here in San Clemente who had just gotten married. And I think the story was that her friend couldn't make the wedding but wanted to give them something sweet for their wedding night. And that's what those cupcakes were for.
They have a little eucalyptus right there, and they have little hearts on them. They are absolutely adorable. This is on the Facebook page, but it's also on the website that I was on for the slimbakes.com, and apparently it's on the Sugar Blossom. You know how to get people interested. These are so enticing, all the lovely pictures, and then just the fact that the recipes in your books are easy or easier. I like that there's a little, well, there's a little cute Dumbo cake. for the baby elephant cake. Yes, that's.
Oh, yes.
There's a sweetie in there. So with all this stuff in your books, and again, reminding, this is the guilt-free zone. These are desserts that are just absolutely fabulous. You're not going to heat the house up trying to make them, okay? So since it's summer and some of us don't want to, you know, overload the AC, these are some that you're going to be in and out of the kitchen pretty quick, and not a whole lot of guilt to go with that. But the other thing, too, is you get one book and you might have to get another. Just saying, all right? I'm just saying, because once you get the farm-to-table desserts, you may even want to start with the other one. We're talking this one because it's got all the seasonal stuff, and people are out at the farmer's market. We've got one right down the street from my house, and I usually end up coming back with something to eat and flowers. Go for it. They have the fresh flowers, so it's like, okay, peaches or whatever. There's usually something there, and they may be doing the sip of the latest coffee flavor or something, but I always end up with flowers. So there you go.
Well, they're so gorgeous. I mean, how can you resist? I usually pick up flowers as well.
Yeah. It's just like, okay. Well, and I guess it's a guilt-free. They're colorful. They smell good. The house feels better. And then if I eat something, it's that whole, everything's all there. It's just that nice pampering moment of enjoying taking the time to stop and smell the roses. How's that? With a cup.
Yes.
All right. Now, I'm looking at something. For the recipes in the latest book, The Farm to Table Desserts, did you have one that was that you thought kind of really stood out for the whole book? Was, you know, the reason that made this one more of a must do?
Yeah, I would definitely have to, I think of the white fig slab pies. Again, that's white fig slab pies. They are, when I think of farm to table, I really think of using ingredients that are fresh and seasonal, but also not manipulating the ingredients too much where they break down. And what I love about the white fig slab pie is that it's a simple pat brisée dough, which is a nice buttery, crispy dough that bakes up. And I just took the white figs and kept them as is. I thinly sliced them, and I just drizzled them with a little honey before I baked them. And that's all I needed to do. You still got the flavor of the fig. The figs are naturally sweet, so you didn't want to overwhelm it with the honey. And it's one of the most mouthwatering desserts in the book, and yet you don't do too much to the fruit by any means. So I think that's the perfect example of a farm-to-table dessert from the cookbook.
Now, is that like what the pictures on the front, that flat, the little flat fruits on the front, it's a slab? Is that what you're saying, like a flat?
Yeah, it's somewhat similar to that. It's just a different type of dough. The one on the front is a puff pastry dough, so that's layered, lots of layers of flour and butter, and it bakes up nice and airy. The pat brisée dough, it doesn't bake up so much airy. It's actually nice and crisp and thin.
Okay. So now of the recipes that you have, there are some that are probably going to be more maybe oceany. So if somebody was going to go to the beach and they wanted a favorite, a dessert that would make you think of the beach, aside from the pina colada, all right, what in your farm-to-table dessert is kind of a beach moment?
Oh, goodness, that's really challenging. But I do have kiwi coconut popsicles in the farm-to-table dessert cookbook, and I'd say maybe that one might be the most emoji.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hot at the beach, and you're going to need to cool off. So,
the kiwi
coconut pops, I actually mentioned that they're great to make with kids. They're just super fun and easy. Literally three ingredients in this recipe. You need a coconut, some kiwis, and some agave. And it's very straightforward. You do need, it'd be helpful if you had a popsicle mold, but if you don't, you can just mold the juice in Dixie cups. You let them freeze for a little bit, and right when they're like half frozen, just stick in some, you can stick in any skewer would be fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. That sounds like, because it's nice and cool, it's icy, it's fresh, and with the kiwi, okay, that's a good one. All right. Since I hadn't had a chance to really, go over everything, I'm like, all right, you know what you've got in there. Surprise me. Now, the next deal is when you are looking at the next book, and I'm sure you are, I mean, not that you're not already busy, but what's coming up down the pike?
Ooh, goodness. To be honest, I have not even thought about a fourth cookbook, but I will say what really inspired me to write Farm-to-Table Desserts was my love of gardening. I picked up gardening a couple years ago, and I really started caring about where my ingredients came from and eating from my garden, and that's what inspired me to write Farm-to-Table Desserts. And I will say I am continuing to garden and love gardening. So I would imagine it might have something to do with Farm-to-Table as well, or some sort of, growing your own ingredients. So my guess is that I know that that's what really makes me happy right now. So I'm just going to roll with it and see where that leads.
I'm guessing an eggplant's going to be in there somewhere. Somehow,
I think I should develop an eggplant recipe and call it the Wendy.
a little caramelized something. A little caramelized something with the eggplant to kind of give it a little class, a little pizzazz, a little unexpected savoir-faire. Okay. So, all right. I'll be so curious to see how that turns out. Okay.
I'll let you know.
Thank you. Thank you. Matt chimed in. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Okay. So it's hard not to have fun talking about dessert. I think that you've brought a lot to the table. The way that this looks, it's all real cheery. It's fun. It's it gives people an idea that there's a lot going on out there in the world of food, that it doesn't have to be complicated and complex. You can do a recipe, like you said, with a big bowl and a whisk and you're good. That was actually, when we were talking, that was referring to the pancakes that we started out with, those blueberry pancakes that really look fabulous on the blog. How often do you update these?
I try and post every few weeks. I wish I had time to post more, but every few weeks I do like to post a new recipe and share with my followers something new and exciting that I worked on.
Oh, I think it's fun. I think there's just enough here to give people an idea that if you really want a little more, then there's a book. There's a book. She did put it all on the blog. So right now with the two books that are out available, Farm to Table Desserts, 80 Seasonal Organic Recipes Made from Your Local Farmer's Market. That's the newest one, came out in May. And then the other one that you came out with first, and this is the one I think that it might have given you a little more inspiration to say, hey, I've done one. Why not go back and just complete and maybe be inspired. I inspire other people like me who are saying, okay, you're not done yet. You're not done yet. First one's Beach House Baking. And so it's got, a lovely pie with the beach in the background. And I think you're in the perfect place to enjoy what you're doing and inspire other people to just get out of the house or in the kitchen and just not make it a big, big process. Enjoy being here and treating yourself occasionally. How's that?
That's very well said. And that's how I live my life.
Okay, I'm going to throw this whole thing all off. Do you have pets?
I do not have pets, but I have a husband who is, does require a lot of attention and love.
I was going to say, if the pets are added, then you may have another cookbook. Okay?
So
as things expand, because you're really good at this.
Okay, okay.
I'm just thinking, as things expand, there might be, you know, you don't have to do the eggplant. You can come up with a lovely, you know, with that cinnamon-esque biscuit. So anyway, all right. It's like you already have your own ideas, but just on the off chance that there might be something that resonates, throwing that at you. All right. Now we're going to run out of time here real quick. Is there anything that we didn't get to add that you liked about your books a recipe I've left out or overlooked?
No, you covered everything so well, Wendy. It was such an honor to be on your show. And I just did want to point out if your listeners are interested in purchasing my cookbooks, they can all be found on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com.
Okay. And I went to the website. The website I'm looking at it is Beachtown Baking. And the other one for your bakery?
The other one for my bakery is sugarblossombakeshop.com.
Okay. And then you also said that people can order from you too. What can they order?
They can order our cookies, our brownies, our cinnamon rolls, all off of our website, which is sugarblossombakeshop.com.
Okay. Sugarblossombakeshop.com?
.com. Correct.
Okay. Well, then we'll let you get back to baking.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, thank you. And I better spell the name just in case. If you're Googling, you're doing farm to table desserts, and the chef, Lei Shishak, Shishak. And then you're going to also get some YouTube videos so you can see that wonderful bok choy dish that we talked about at the beginning. And, you know, just an idea of how this stuff is all put together, and have fun. There's something for everyone. I was, once you see these images, it's like, there's a lot of inspiration. I want to do the blueberry pancakes this weekend. That's my plan. And no, I'm not going to do the buttermilk. I'm just going to do the whole milk. Okay. Just that's easy, simple. And
please do. They're delicious.
Yeah. It looks great. I've got the blueberries in the fridge right now, and we're going to go stock up on some more peaches because I just ate the last one. Yeah. Okay, fine. I'm into fruit. All right. There you go. Stay. Thank you. Thank you very much, and have a fabulous summer, and we'll be looking forward to more web browsing on your site. All right. I'm going to.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Thanks. All right. Thank you for listening. Conscious Living, Empower Radio.